WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Aaron Appelfeld is an Israeli novelist who writes about the Holocaust and its aftermath. Appelfeld is a concentration camp survivor. Writer Philip Roth describes Appelfeld as having a voice that originates in a wounded consciousness, pitched somewhere between amnesia and memory, and that situates the fiction it narrates midway between parable and history. Appelfeld was just in New York, where he was awarded an honorary degree from Yeshiva University and received the National Jewish Book Award. Appelfeld's new novel, For Every Sin, is set just after World War II. A young man named Theo has been liberated from a concentration camp, and he's determined to walk back to his home hundreds of miles away. Along the way, he meets groups of survivors who have banded together, and he goes out of his way to avoid them. He confronts one of the survivors to ask, "Why are all these people crowded together?" And he gets the answer, "It's easier to be together." But Theo says, "That's just an illusion, a delusion." I asked Appelfeld which side makes more sense to him. Is there comfort in being with others who have suffered?
I'm dealing with Jewish history, Jewish faith, Jewish gathering, and Jewish trying to escape from this kind of gathering. Escape your faith. Run away from your tribe. And this is it's a very strong feeling. And both feelings are very strong. To be together, a very strong feeling. From the other side, to run away from it. And these are two very strong motives in Jewish life.
Did you go through a period ever of wanting to run away from Judaism?
You see, to run away, it's sometimes an inner matter, not only an external matter. Theo wants to convert. He's coming from a very assimilated home. But from the other side, he understands finally that he cannot run away. He's part of it. You cannot run away from your past. You cannot run away from your hands, from your legs, from your body. And you cannot run away from your soul.
You have some things in common with your main character, Theo. You grew up in a prosperous, assimilated family, and I think Yiddish was almost banned in your house, as it was in your character.
Yes, of course, of course. Yiddish was somewhere connected with Ostjuden, with tribe, with Jewish history, with Jewish faith, so don't speak about it, you know, leave it, Let us forget it. We belong to Europe.
Your character of Theo learns Yiddish in a concentration camp. Did you learn Yiddish there as well?
Yes, of course, of course. My first World War, I have studied, you know, Yiddish was the common language in the concentration camp, the Jewish language. So we became, part of us became Jewish in the concentration camps. Our first lessons were in the concentration camps of Jewishness, Jewish behavior, Jewish philosophy, Jewish mystics. It was years, you know, of deep soul searching.
Did you comprehend being put in a camp for a religion that your family didn't practice?
This is the part of, you see, of the tragedy, of the Jewish tragedy. People wanted for years in Germany, in Austria, to run away. And they actually ran away. And then came times when you cannot more run away, and you are confronted with yourselves, with your past, with your present. And this, of course, is tragedy. Many fellows, German Jews, committed suicide because they could not stand this kind of paradox. East European Jews, you know, understood that a Jew is a bad matter and you should suffer. But for the German Jews, who considered themselves as the best Germans, it was really a tragedy.
How old were you when you escaped the camp, and how did you escape?
I was 8 years old, and I ran away in the night. It was a winter night, and I escaped to the forest, just wandering like a small animal from tree to tree. And then finally I found an elderly woman was living outside the village. And she somewhere adopted me. So I was working in her home. And then because I understood very soon that it is dangerous to stay in the same place. So I was wandering from place to place, from peasant to peasant.
How did you find out the war was over?
Russian army liberated us. And I joined the Russian army as a kitchen boy, wandering with the Russian army. It's a new war, of course. From Russia through Romania, through Bulgaria, through, and I came to Yugoslavia. We were a group of Jewish children, and we were working in the kitchen mainly, preparing food for the soldiers. So we were wandering for 2 years, and it was quite an experience. A big Russian drunken army. And we learned to drink vodka, smoke cigarettes, and to curse. And it was, you know, a frightening army because it was a Russian cavalry, a drunken Russian cavalry. And in moments that were quite frightening.
What was an example of a frightening moment?
Just, you know, because the soldiers were, mainly in the evenings, very, very drunken, you see. So a drunken person is always somewhere a bit frightening.
Now, how did you get from the Russian army to Israel?
It was near Napoli. We met a group of Jewish soldiers, a Jewish brigade, and they adopted us. We have told them that we are Jewish, and they adopted us. So this was really even better.
And they took you to Israel?
And they sent us to Israel, yes. You know, there was this, all the waves of Jewish refugees with no homes, sleeping on the beaches, thousands of them. No one wanted them. They just escaped the camps in the forest. And so we went with, you know, small boats to Israel. And so I arrived in 1946 to Israel.
You met your father in Israel, didn't you?
Yes.
Your mother was killed, but your father survived the camps.
Yes, I've met him. I've left him when I was 8 years old and met him when I was 28 years old. So 20 years of separation.
How did you find him?
You know, I was looking. We have in Israel kind of offices searching for lost people. And suddenly I've seen his name. I was not sure. But finally I found him. He was working in an orchard. An elderly person with glasses, bald elderly man with glasses. He was in his 60s. And I've met him. Yes, and it was beyond words.
Were you close after you met him again?
Yes, we became very good friends. Yes, of course. Of course, we became very good friends. And I learned from him a lot because I left my home when I was 8 years old. And he helped me to reconstruct my past. To more about him, about my family, about my grandparents, about the region where we are born, a particular region, and outstanding region, from the cultural point of view. And so through him, I became familiar with my past.
Getting your past back must have not only been important to you personally, but also as a writer.
Yes, you see, I came in a kind because I was in a vacuum. With no past, how can you be a writer? With no real memory, how can you be a writer? And my writing is mainly reconstructing my pieces of memory into a piece of fiction.
Well, I want to thank you very much for talking with us. Thank you.
Thank you.